pop culture questions only one podcast knows. Nerds That Know, Rated R.
The greatest minds from around the world. This is the Nerds That Know. Stash here, along with my wonderful band of freaks, monsters, bimbos, and tools. Smurf, guess which one you are. You're the latter, in case you were wondering.
I'm a bimbo.
Yes, you are. You are a very ugly bimbo, Smurf. That is true.
I totally take on the moniker of freak. I own that. I own that totally, wholeheartedly.
Well, I'll take. I feel like I'm.
Are the tool? Yes, yes, Stash.
Yeah, you are a big tool.
I am a tool for the pleasure of others, if you know what I mean.
You're a dick.
Yep.
Okay.
That checks out.
You're a stash hole.
That too.
But, so, what's the coolest thing you guys did last week? Don't everyone jump at once.
Well, we did have a lovely host's dinner that I planned and cooked for and did all of these wonderful things for, to which Stash and Tank showed up for, and they each brought their significant others, and that was awesome.
That was fun.
Yeah.
The food looked delicious. I'm sorry, I had to miss it.
So, cool
Fox
things.
Didn't come either. Fox was busy doing other things.
Other people.
Well, apparently Smurf's got a busy porno schedule lately, so.
Yes, I'm doing this patriotic film called Yank My Doodle. It's a dandy.
That doesn't sound very good. Sounds like the kind of...
You haven't yanked it yet.
Does it shoot fireworks out of it?
Yes, it does.
Yes.
And awesome. Everybody we salutes.
Sticking a catheter into it, and then a puppy goes down into the actual doodle.
Oh.
And then it's a dandy.
That doesn't sound dandy.
That sounds not dandy. That sounds like the exact opposite of dandy.
Oh,
yes.
Hi, Papa. Hi, Uncle Bob.
All right, well,
rentals are in Kansas, and they all say hi, which is
hey.
Out at their house.
We love Kansas.
Dad, the dogs have been fed, the cows have been fed, the chickens have been fed, and the bacon has been flipped.
That's a lot of
that's a lot of protein.
Yeah, it is.
My father is curing his own bacon.
Ooh. I need some deer jerky. Everyone always goes hunting and comes back, and I'll get you whatever you want. It's like the first thing out of every hunter's mouth, but I never get any jerky. It hurts my feel bad.
I always get whatever I want. Never dad touches anything. I have elk in my freezer at home right now, and it's lovely.
I actually just got a package of deer sticks from Pops, actually.
Yeah. You're welcome for flipping the bacon.
Jerky is amazing.
Yeah. You ever had mountain lion jerky?
Mm-hmm. That's
interesting.
Yeah. Ostrich.
Yeah, not what I...
That makes really good steak.
It's very stringy.
I enjoy ostrich. It's better as ground, patties and such, though.
Never had an ostrich.
Speaking of giant birds, let's talk about Falcon and Winter Soldier.
He's no longer a bird. Now he's
a captain. Still has wings.
Well,
he's kind of a
bird that can fly.
So would that make him Big Bird?
No, he's a turtle that can fly. Let's be fair.
Big Bird can't fly, which is why Big Bird has to walk across America and or hitchhike. Didn't you ever see that
turtle? That turtle move was pretty cool. That's good defense.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. Is it my imagination or is just Falcon the worst fighter we have ever seen? This guy cannot fight for being former military. He gets his ass kicked a lot and really does not fight.
He comes against soldiers. So, I mean,
Even when they weren't super soldiers, he's still not the best fighter.
Been a good fighter. That's kind of never been his shtick. He's always just been, pun intended, the wingman.
Oh, that's true. He did a good job. I mean, I don't know why it was so hard for him to fight Batroc. That is confusing.
Yes. That's what made me realize. I'm like, Sam really is not a good fighter. So,
oh, Batroc is a really good fighter, though.
But that's fine. But Sam should not have struggled as much as he did with
him. That shouldn't have been as hard of a fight as it was.
Not with all the technology he had.
Yeah. Exactly. He's got Wakanda garb from head to toe, wings, jets, shield. Yeah, I'm sure he's probably got a couple of missiles and like two Red Wings. Come on.
He should have just straight up whooped Batroc's ass.
Mopped the floor with
why
him.
He didn't, I get why he didn't partake of the final fight that he did not partake in.
Well, yeah, that makes sense.
That would make sense. But the rest of the time where he was just all like, I can do acrobatics.
I feel like we saw a lot of development from his character that was not explained in the course of the narrative or on screen. Like, I don't know what happened between our filler episode and this episode, but like his tactics and everything completely changed. His combat style.
I agree. Massively.
They had the montage.
It wasn't enough of a montage.
It was a Rocky montage.
It was just him learning to throw the shield.
Well, I think it was implied that during the shield throwing and the montage that he's training, he's running faster, breathing harder, throwing straighter. I mean, I don't know. I'm just making this up as I go, but
that's readily apparent.
I agree, because the montage, I think, is what was supposed to serve as that transition that you're speaking of, but it failed in the delivery. And we kind of like, how is he going to change like an entire style with that small amount of time? Because, I mean, they make it seem like it's relatively short.
Yeah, it was days.
It was a couple of days.
Yeah, at most. So,
I mean,
okay,
a week tops.
Yeah, it wasn't that long. Whatever it was.
Yeah.
In that same vein, we had an interesting
twist.
With the
unveiling.
John Walker's character had an interesting radical flip at the end of there.
Yes.
That I think was not timed well, because it didn't make sense that for that to happen yet.
Well, not only that it didn't make sense for it not to happen, but where it happened. It happened back in the congressional meeting room that they court-martialed and threw his ass out.
Oh, no, that I was actually okay with. I was fine with that. I'm talking about what happened in the fight.
The fight
with
was
him deciding to suddenly, because it's been pretty evident they're building up to him becoming a bloodthirsty, like
barbarian
style, like I'm just gonna kill the people that made me angry kind of a thing. And then there was like pretty radical flip at the very end there, and it's like wait, why? That's not earned at all.
No.
Why is he suddenly a good guy again? He's been a prick this whole time.
Literally a deus ex machina. The voice of Captain came from the clouds and came down and was like, hey, stop being a bitch.
Why didn't he try and whip, Sam's ass?
Well, not only that, but, I mean, you've got Winter Soldier in him kind of like buddy at the end.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? Is it because there's like too many people around or cameras and they don't want to make the same mistake as before with the bloody shield? But
why would he care, though?
A kinder, gentler Winter Soldier? I mean,
I understand why Bucky cares. I don't understand why Walker cares.
Oh, he absolutely cares just for the facade of it. That's the only reason.
Yeah, but the cameras weren't there for all of it. I mean, he could have let the car fall and no one would have known. I mean,
would have made a more interesting movie if he did.
Yeah, like, let him be the bad guy for a little bit here.
Well, I still think he might go down that angle, but...
No, I think they're going full anti-hero at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Where he's going to be more aggressive and hostile and violent, but he's still kind of a good guy.
I hope not. I hope he turns.
I really want him to be a dick.
We may still see that, because the rumors flying around after this, because we've gotten an extension for Winter Soldier and Falcon 2.
Captain America and the Winter Soldier, yeah.
Yeah, so we got that, but there's also rumors now that we're going to get my pick.
Handle season 2 of this show?
Last week? Yeah, but I mean, they're already talking that one of my teams, which I've already picked, Thunderbolts, and now they're saying Dark Avengers.
And I got confused, like, because you've been talking about Thunderbolts the whole time, and I've been basically in agreement with we're getting the Thunderbolts. It might not happen that way, because it seems like they're building 4 Avengers teams currently.
Yes, so it's very strange, because the way the show ends with the mid-cliffhanger... and where Zemo's at, we know they take him to the RAF,
mm-hmm.
which is the high security facility for S.H.I.E.L.D., which opens the door for just about every baddie that they've ever caught. They don't even have to do backstories. They can just pull people, characters out of this at rando.
Well, and the guy that's overseeing it just happens to be Thaddeus Ross?
Yes.
Who we weirdly didn't see during this.
At all.
Series, which does not make sense,
but we may still see that with She-Hulk, because I still think we'll get Red Hulk, and with Ross running the RAF, I think we may actually get that to fruition.
Yeah, but are we getting the Thunderbolts, or are we getting the Dark Avengers, or are we getting the
I think we're gonna get both
Avengers, or are we getting the
I think we're gonna get both. I think Thunderbolts for sure. They laid too much groundwork for that team.
Well, that's what's confusing, is they laid a lot of groundwork for that team, but that same team can also be the Dark Avengers.
It's possible, especially with U.S. Agent.
Yeah.
But so, U.S. Agent was never a Thunderbolt, that I recall.
He led the Dark Avengers. Did he lead the Thunderbolts at one point?
I don't think so. The guy that was in the Beetle suit, he was... He was leading the Thunderbolts for pretty much most of it until the second series started.
I'm wondering. I thought they brought in for like a one-time thing that John Walker led the Thunderbolts or something like that.
It may have been a special mission. I don't
know.
I'm going to have to go.
Either way, he's not deeply tied to the Thunderbolts, really. He's tied to the Dark Avengers and the Secret Avengers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So
the failed Avengers titles. That's the new movie. The failed Avengers.
I mean, not a bad angle to take. It'd be different.
It would be different. I don't know. So is it too soon to have a second series already announced?
Yes.
Of course.
Because I'm thinking this is a little premature. Just kind of like, at least let Loki get done, or at least started before.
Well, we need to know
how this out.
Characters fit in the world.
Well, the funny part is they've kind of already leaned into the idea that there's going to be a second season of Loki, which they haven't even released the first season. So
they haven't even released the first episode.
Yeah, nope. And they're already apparently in talks for doing a season 2. So that's pretty interesting.
But like
when you have an actor like that, you want to get in talks early so that
maybe
you
can
book him if you need him.
Yeah, I mean,
that's like,
I'd back Hillstad 100%. Absolutely. Let's get that guy on the books, get it laid out. I completely agree with Stash with that. Just you can't not get him nailed down early enough, I don't think.
And then we got to
we'll see.
We got the big end credit reveal, which leads me to believe one of two things happened in this, and that's either she lied and she never disappeared, and it's just been, or she had already been doing something for a long time, and then when she blipped and then came back, she just continued. But
I don't think she blipped.
That's what I'm thinking too.
She stayed. I think, and she assumed this whole other,
and just let everyone believe that she was gone.
Because that would make more sense.
That seems to be the most sensible version of this story.
Mm-hmm. Take advantage of the situation and, you know, why set not? Yourself up.
I mean, if you have the complete opportunity, be like, oh, hey, I can start over. I can fake my own death. I can do whatever. And then 5 years down the road, everybody comes back and you have the opportunity all of a sudden again to be like, oh, hi everyone, I'm back.
The interesting part of that becomes then Zemo was talking about it as if there was a longer history here. So where's she? What? If she's not the original person, then what happened to that person?
She killed him.
Duh.
She just nuked the dude when he got back.
It's one of those titles that it doesn't matter who it is, there's always going to be that character.
Well, yeah, that's kind of, you know, I understand that.
Whoever holds the black book holds the title.
And then you think she took over when that guy disappeared, and then when he got back, she just snuffed his ass out?
No, I think he snuffed his ass out before he disappeared.
I think so, too.
That's possible.
And then, because think of the disorganization in that organization after half its population disappeared.
Oh, yeah.
He could swoop in and recreate him as a more powerful organization.
And she was already on the run when the blip happened. Oh, yeah. So,
she was completely burned by that point. So, yeah. But, I mean, that is an interesting way to end it. Not the way I thought it was going to happen, but hey.
Nope.
It's one of the things I like the most about what the MCU is doing so far with their TV shows is they're not predictable.
Well, not to that extreme, no. There's parts of it that are easy to figure out, but...
Yeah, I mean, little things
here... But they have some interesting twists, for sure.
Yeah.
It's not following a totally predictable storyboard, cookie cutter. You know you're going to go to the movie. You know you're going to see something get blown up. You know that the good guys are going to win and everybody's going to walk away.
Well, good guys kind of won.
Did they?
Okay.
But that's the thing, because the reality of the situation is the terrorists, the bad guys the entire time, accomplished exactly what they wanted to.
Yep.
Fucking deep stated that whole thing.
Yeah.
Zemo was meant to go to the Wrath because Power Broker was in on it. They knew exactly what they were doing.
The speech that Sam gives?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
oh no, I'm not saying that he wasn't right. I'm saying,
no.
But they basically proved who the people that they were calling terrorists the entire time, the bad guys of the entire series, ended up getting exactly what they wanted out of it after killing a bunch of people and
kidnapping
people. And
that's not normal.
So it's not. The thing I really upset with is the dissension in the terrorist ranks and that not being paid off.
Well,
like, when she got more and more radicalized, there's like one single protest from one person and then they're like, oh, okay, we'll do what you want. It's like, I hated that. That really bothered me.
He's scared of her.
I think they cut parts of this story out.
Oh, I think they did too. I think there was
probably another should have seen.
I think there was another episode in here before they got to
cut. I think there's a couple more.
Yeah.
Because there's some stuff that just kind of doesn't get talked about, but not in a way of, oh, well, we left that out on purpose to make it a surprise later on. It's like, no, we cut that out because we had to.
Mm-hmm. It's one of the reasons why I'm so surprised they've confirmed a second season before they start fitting these characters together in like a wider universe.
Maybe, I don't know, Feige's the one calling the shots. I'm going to bet he's got a game plan. So
I'm sure he has an idea. I'm really hoping that
Bucky does, even if none of us can see it yet.
I'm hoping Bucky returns to Wakanda and becomes the White Wolf.
Yeah, I can see that.
I don't know.
And then lead the War Dogs
real of Wakanda.
I want him to lead the War Dogs of Wakanda, though. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
There's a lot that we can still see, and there's a lot that we don't know about yet.
Well, just because we know that T'Challa's dead, so they have to have someone defending Wakanda. So why not make it Bucky and the War Dogs?
And maybe we'll see that in the movie.
Yeah, that'd be the way I'd want to play it out, at least, because that would make sense. It'd allow him to repay them for everything they helped him with and all that stuff and continue the story in a kind of an interesting narrative.
Yeah,
but then you have to worry about the whole angle of, like, the white person coming in and saving the...
I understand the white savior thing, but it's not a white savior thing because they saved his life already.
Yeah.
This is a repayment. This is a, you guys already helped me break free of my, you know, captivity inside his own head. Mm-hmm. And he owes them this. And with the king being down... You know, and that him killing the other king or being thought to have killed the other king, you know, that would make sense.
It's interesting. They have a lot to work with on him because he literally just kind of walked off into the distance. So who knows what's going to happen. I understand this arc was based on him living in the shadow of the Falcon. But we need him more because, like, I didn't like him at the beginning of the season. I didn't really like him at the end of the season. I felt more sympathy for him at the end of the season, but I still didn't really think he was very cool.
I think that was like,
all right, guys, I think it's been 20 minutes on one topic, and we have a lot to cover tonight. Oh,
whatever. I think the point was for sympathy, though. I will say that. All right.
Was that a home telephone?
Wow.
Yes, that's because out in the boonies where my parents live, cell phones don't always work, and they do have a house phone.
That's lame.
okay, so.
Well, let's talk about the other cool superhero show.
All right, Invincible.
Invincible, like, fuck me running if I am not digging the shit out of this series.
Told you. Go ahead. Just say Smurf, you were right. That's all I want to hear.
But Smurf, you had a little bit of truth in you. A little bit, huh?
Just a bit.
It's like I did not expect the shit that we got last week to happen. And we have what? We have one more episode or two?
Yeah, it's one more.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Shit got really real really fast. But I mean, the thing I do find interesting about this show so far is I think in many ways it's less the story about Invincible than it is about everything around him. Because, like, I think we've gotten more interesting character arcs from, like, his best friend, his girlfriend.
Oh, the girlfriend's the worst bitch on the planet. Fuck that chick. My favorite arc is the robot. Nah, she's a fucking heartless bitch. Oh, I know you're a superhero. Wow, and you're still busting my chops for being late? Fuck you. That just pissed me off. I was like, you know what? Fuck off.
But you're also future reading right here.
Yeah,
so.
I know. It's not fair. But robot. robot, I love what they've done.
That was cool.
Robot's great. Robot's
I like
great.
How they did it.
Yeah. I did too. I was shocked when that happened. And I was like, this This is the kind of shit you read comics for, is this wacky ass shit that comes out of nowhere and is super fun.
You thought it was Monster Girl coming out of that tube, didn't you?
No, I didn't. I thought he was making a amalgamation of all of their abilities as the ultimate hero.
All right.
That was cool, though. I like how they did the robot story. That was fun. It was, and then had their response to it was like, so you did all this shit just to
get laid.
Get laid, basically.
Yeah.
He's what, 25? In a 12-year-old girl's body?
He's 30, I think.
Yeah, he's 30.
He's 30. He's, no, she, wasn't he 32?
Monster,
I watched that episode twice.
Yeah, she's
Monster
aging in reverse.
Is in her 20s.
Yeah. Yeah, she's like 25, 26.
Yeah, now their bodies and their personalities match.
Yeah.
Their bodies and their personalities both have a very similar age gap, so it works pretty well. It's still really weird if they're going to have
creepy,
sex.
Though.
But...
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and he did the whole thing of like, yeah, I noticed you were checking him out, so I just decided I'm going to make myself look like
him.
I just
doppelganged that motherfucker.
Why not just beat them at their own game? Fuck it!
Yeah. I thought that was a really interesting, really awesome angle for them to take.
I'm like, very curious to see what the final episode is going to be like, though.
I really hope Invincible is better. Yeah.
I want to know what Omni-Man's reasoning was. Because he says that there's a reason.
That's probably what we're going to find out in the finale.
Yes.
I don't think we're going to know.
Based on the pace of the show, that's probably what's happening in the finale.
I'm hoping that it is what I think it is.
Well.
No spoilers from me. I'm not going to say anything,
but.
Thank you for not really.
It is cool. I will say that.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I really hope
Robot lives. That's all I have to say right now. I think he just now realized that he is vulnerable as shit when he's just a guy running around.
God, that was a cool fight, though.
He still has like 100 clones of his robot self.
Yeah, yes. But he had a giant clone and two duplicates, and he almost got fucking wrecked.
Yeah, closely.
Yeah,
I like the immortal. The immortal just keeps getting his ass kicked, keeps getting back up.
God, that was so fucking cool.
I love.
That's the reason I watched the episode twice, because he was just fucking berserking to the truest. And then his arc, like they explain so much in a series of flashbacks that take like 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Yep.
They did a good job of kind of feeding his storyline.
It was the best info dump they could have done. Because, it didn't slow down pacing. It showed you just enough to have sympathy and interest on him.
Yeah, except for the part about being Abraham Lincoln. But, yeah.
That was fucking hilarious.
That was hilarious.
I legitimately laughed out loud just when that happened.
Why didn't they just put his head back on sooner? That's all I want to know. What the fuck?
Well, they had to put them back together.
I suppose so. Suppose that's true. But I do like Mr. Immortal. That was Clinch. That was way, way cooler than I thought it was going to be. I was like, okay.
Yeah. Well, then Jeff just got his fucking ass handed to him again.
Again.
On live TV this time.
Which totally just screws off Omni-Man.
Oh, yeah, he's fucked now.
Yeah.
Now he's fucked.
Everyone knows.
Yeah.
And it's like they could try and play it off if they didn't keep sending more and more shit at it.
And he just super kills all of it, yeah.
Yeah, and the only thing he's wrestling with is Cthulhu, and he, you know, may or may not beat that thing again, so.
Yeah.
I hope not. That
really
thing is fucking sweet.
Creature from Plants vs. Monsters.
I'm sorry?
Because it had, like, the giant, like, tentacles, but also had teeth in it and was walking.
That's a Cthulhu monster.
Yeah.
It didn't look strictly Cthulhu-esque to me.
Oh,
well,
it probably
it's
wasn't.
Not Cthulhu in like full design, but it's obviously inspired by it.
Yeah, the inspiration is Lovecraftian monsters.
It's Lovecraftian, yes.
Yeah, because when they did that, because when they do that first approach up to the creature when he's sitting in the field, his whole head looks like he's, it's his whole outline is Cthulhu.
Yeah, it's really cool though.
Yeah.
So, I like this show quite a bit. I don't think I like it more than The Boys, but it's up there.
It's a good second off. I'm hoping we hear news of a renewal soon. I'm surprised that Amazon's dragging their feet. Huh?
Well, I haven't heard hardly anyone talking about it besides like the hardcore nerds.
Yeah.
Well,
all of their money on Lord of the Rings, and so they don't have any money left to make anything new ever again.
Come on, the animation's not that great.
Yeah,
he's supposed to be doing an interview.
How much money that company makes? That's not true.
He's supposed to be doing an interview next weekend following the
finale.
Finale, and I'm assuming that's probably where we'll get some information.
Is it Seth?
I mean, the budget for the show can't be that high.
The animators know, but for the intellectual property.
Because they have to pay Kirkman a giant pile of money for that.
I mean, between Kirkman's salary and the voice actors, I mean, let's face it, there's not a lot of
voice acting.
Yeah, there's not a lot of B-listers for voice actors in this.
No,
really not.
And I love Ezra Miller in this. He's a shitty Flash, but he is fucking hilarious in this show.
Yeah.
The cast in this is really just killing it. Yeah. Literally.
For now.
I'm excited for next week.
Yep.
So, interesting. Prep for tonight's show was switching between all of our different streaming platforms. We were on Disney Plus for Falcon and Winter Soldier. We went over to Amazon Prime for The Invincibles, went over to Netflix next for Shadow and Bone.
And HBO.
Shadow and Bone, yeah.
But, hey, we're not on HBO yet.
I know. But
yes, we hit HBO as well.
Okay, so Shadow and Bone is following a trend of this weird obsession that seems to be popping up more and more recently with this old English 1800s feel to it.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if 1800s is the right word or time frame. I feel like Shadow and Bone has a more
medieval.
Yes, medieval. Like almost like a not quite Game of Thrones kind of vibe, but it felt that.
Well, it felt like the turn of the century. It's kind of like Renaissance-y and Dark Ages. It's a weird amalgamation. Like you're right in that cusp of, the century changing and the Enlightenment period beginning. And it's kind of weird.
But of all of these shows that are kind of this English historical fiction type of stuff, this one's my favorite so far. I got through half the season so far, and I like it more than the Irregulars and the Nevers. So
I finished it in a night. And I was actually going, I'm really tired, because Saturday night we were up late drinking and having fun and a fabulous time, of which Fox and Smurfs missed. and then Sunday, I was like, you know what? I had to get up early. I'm going to go to bed early because I have a shit ton of things I have to do on Monday. Nope. 1 a.m. rolls around and I'm like, oh, hey, I just finished that series. So much better early.
I will not lie. When it first started and I'm like, oh, God, this time period again. I immediately was like, oh, okay, well, let's watch it, see what happens. And then I just kept watching because I was like, this is actually kind of a cool story. A little too much romance. I wish it was a little more action-adventure. but
it's not as romancy as you would think.
Eh.
No, as it progresses,
it's to the point that I'm at, there seems to be a little young adult romance type of stuff going on.
Nope.
That's the thing I'm tired of.
It is not as romancy as you would think.
Yeah. But I will say that the characters are more engaging and interesting.
Mm-hmm. I like the Grisha, you know, which are their witches.
Yep.
And that they're not, you know, doing like the elemental magic, you know, so like secular and different. They have really weird ways of like classifying people.
Yeah, a lot more in the superhero vein of magical powers.
You know, one of the characters who I really like this character. She's classified as a tailor.
Oh yeah, she's cool.
Because her ability is she can fix anything, and that's doing hair. She can make somebody's appearance change. She can fix the clothing. She can heal small wounds. She can remove scars. She can fix any material thing, whether it be human flesh or an actual material item, you know? But it's considered, her gift is considered a tailor.
Mm-hmm.
And it's considered one of the very rare talents.
I like the heart renders.
She tailors matter how she wills, essentially.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Exactly. But it's, so like in this one scene, she's helping prepare one of the main characters for this big feast. And so she like, she picks up a flower. So she has the reference for the color. And she's like, okay. And she just, you know, to change the color of her eyelids to, like, you know, do her makeup. And she goes, nope, nope.
You have one of the most badass powers ever, and you have her making a dress.
That's the queen's decision.
It's like, okay, that's another thing. The queen is all like, every morning she has the tailor come in and give her a little boob job and a facelift.
Mm-hmm.
Because the tailor belongs to the queen.
Yeah. Yeah, the Grecians are definitely the slave labor in this.
Yes, okay. And no.
Well, also no, yes. But to be accepted into the ruling class, they're basically the...
They have to start there.
Are the performers, the lower spectrum.
So they start there, and then it's really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
The way the whole thing works, you know.
Yeah, it's cool. It's worth watch. I liked it better than the other stuff. That in the similar vein.
Yeah, so. I think it's a lot different from any of the other stuff that we've seen so far.
Yeah. Doesn't start out that way though.
No, it doesn't. It starts off exactly like Tink is saying. Like, okay, you expect it to just be another one of the same thing that we've seen 100 times.
Yeah.
And I was expecting to watch an episode, maybe two, and then move on.
That's me too. Point. I literally was like, I'll watch the first episode, and I'm like, this looks like it's the same. And then the episode ends, and I'm like, that was cool. All right, let's just keep going, I guess.
Because
they end the episode in a really smart way to kind of get to sink those claws in a little bit. They're like, you know what? Do something really cool at the end of this, and they do it. So
interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll give it a shot this weekend.
Yeah, it's worth it. At least watch the first couple and see if it kind of draws you in a little bit.
Yeah, because I've been skipping over the last few just because I didn't have the time. But now I've got a little more time. I can spend a little time on like leisurely viewing and not stuff just for this podcast. Mm-hmm. So I'll give it a shot and see what we're dealing with. Is it comparable to Lock and Key at all?
No.
Not really.
Okay. I was wondering if maybe that tone was similar.
I think it's completely different.
Trying hard to place it, and it does kind of have a magician's feel a little bit.
But like early magicians before
early the yeah, when it was actually kind of good early in the first couple seasons, like it does kind of have that some of that tone to it where it's this magic is the scary thing in the universe for a reason. And it does have a lot of power and a lot of sway, even though the people that wield it don't. So
interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like a dynamic I would like. Yeah. The enslaved sorcerer deal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's pretty cool.
The arc I've read before and I enjoyed it. So maybe TV, it works just as well. So
yeah, it plays well. Well, the way that they're telling a story, and you can kind of see the direction that the story's moving. It seems like it is going to follow a somewhat linear path, but it looks like a story that you want to see the end of it, because the ending is going to be kind of satisfying, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It sounds like it's the YA style series, so it's going to be
predictable.
It's going to be...
There's definitely a little bit of the YA style.
Yeah.
There's parts of it are some darker stuff in it.
And that's the fun part.
Yeah.
That's the part that keeps you going, because there is the YA stuff, and I'm kind of like, ugh. All right, come on now. And then they bounce into something kind of interesting. You're like, oh, okay, let's do this.
Yeah, thing. That's why I stopped at regulars, is the YA just got too heavy. And I was just like,
It does not do that, thankfully. It does not go as deep as the irregulars did. I know.
All right, good.
That kind of stuff, that angsty teen stuff.
All right, well, you brushed on it a little bit of the Nevers, and Stash was talking about the fact that we were on all of the streaming platforms, jumping over to HBO, HBO Go, and, you know, Nevers did have its third episode air this week. Can't believe we're only on three episodes. I would have sworn that we were on more.
It feels like fucking more, I can tell you that.
It's because each episode is 90 minutes.
It's just so long.
It's so long. And
I'm tapping out.
It's not long for a good reason. That's the problem.
I'm tapping out. I'm done on the Nevers.
There is so much filler. And if they cut these down to, I'd say, even 45 minutes, you cut off 15, 20 minutes from this, and it's doable. And you're like, oh, cool. They keep the pace moving. But there is so much extra bullshit that is unnecessary in this show.
Yep. I'm out.
Fucking Joss Whedon playing God again. We need 20 minutes on this little bit of a story dump. And I'm like, fucking why, dude? Let's move the fuck on.
it's Joss Whedon fucking the fans yet again. Thanks, Joss.
And it's sad because the characters themselves, just the characters, are interesting.
Slightly redeemable. I agree. They are interesting enough that I've stuck it out this long, but dude, after this week, I'm just like, for fuck's sake, no more.
It's so not worth it right now.
No, there's no payoff in sight for this. I don't care. Burn.
I hope Mallory kills fucking everybody at this
point. Yes, is exactly. You just took the words right out of my mouth. Just kill them all. Burn the fucking thing to the ground. Call it a day. Next series, please. Ah.
And it's sad because the characters are interesting. True seems like she has a very interesting backstory.
Yes.
What's her face? Damn it. Her friend, the engineer.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
Her story's not amazing, but you can see kind of where it could be cool.
Yes.
Because she's this incredibly intelligent inventor that's got kind of a weird sense of humor and just kind of...
She's quirky and she's like three characters out of Firefly and one out of Buffy. And no, I agree 100%.
I was going to say, she sounds like the... did you ever watch Warehouse 13?
Yes. Yeah. Similar.
She sounds like Claudia.
Similar. Very similar, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, but Claudia is like three times more entertaining and going somewhere. And this
her fucking story was entertaining. That's why.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. I can't take this shit anymore.
That's my problem, because it's not the characters.
No, it's not.
The characters are good. The archetypes are good. They're smart. They all have agency in certain ways that are like interesting. Even the when they brought in the fire chick, the pyro chick at the end, and I was like, oh, cool, you know? But literally it took to the end of the episode for me to be like, oh, that was cool.
Yeah. Again, payoff. No payoff. Not even worth it. Just like, wow, all of that.
Cool?
For someone that likes to burn shit. Great. Thanks, Joss.
Malady is an incredibly interesting character because she's a fucking lunatic. And I want to know why. That is the only character where I want to know why she is. But I want to know more. I want to know all of the story of why she just went off the fucking edge here. And
I want them to get to that point. We have no idea when that's going to be. Yeah, the payoff. I want
to get to the point of why she has lost her shit.
Okay.
I don't think they've done a good job of really filling the crazy behind her.
I agree.
Maybe Joss knew this was going to be his last show ever.
No.
Is just the Whedon swan song that we've all been hoping for? Pissy and just said fuck the people. And
well, the fact that they had signed on for a season two makes me wonder, is that when the payoff is?
God, I hope not. That is way too long. That is not even a worthwhile payoff.
Or they could just do one of those like really heavy lifting season finales where it's like the show sucks, but the season finale was cool.
I'm betting that's what happens.
God, I hope not.
I'm assuming that the season finale is gonna blow the fucking lid off of this thing. Like, I'm assuming the season finale is gonna be spectacular.
Well, we don't know who the secret bad guy is.
Well, we know like four of the secret bad guys. That's part of the problem, is that there's like eight secret bad guys.
No, the one who's actually controlling everything.
Well, we know a few of them. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, which one is the big controller here? We have an assumption.
I know.
Well, I think I know too, but they have five different divergent stories that are basically all the same.
Yeah.
Of this secret bad guy who nobody knows about. I was like, well, can we get to one of them being the bad guy? How about they kill one of the other bad guys and make them the super bad guy?
You know? All I know is his dark materials moved a fuck ton faster than this goddamn thing.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yes.
His Dark Materials was much better.
Well, his Dark Materials was also based on a book series, and this is based on Joss Whedon's own brainchild.
Yeah, well, I guess true.
But his Dark Materials, had the same pacing. It was slow and developing, and shit, that looks like it's a sprinter compared to this shit. And I'm like, ugh.
Well, see, his Dark Materials needed to be slow because it was including so much from the books.
Yeah.
Maybe, I guess, sure.
I definitely actually see myself as kind of a dialogue whore. I love when they get in-depth conversations on stuff.
Oh, I'm all for it when it's intriguing.
But when it's interesting, this sucks.
Like, Quentin Tarantino and Guy Ritchie are just laughing their asses off. Like, yeah. Let us show you how to do dialogue, motherfucker.
Yeah, and that's the thing, because I love the really wordy stuff. I like Aaron Sorkin stuff. Okay, that's a wordy motherfucker.
That dude, like, that is a man who can write some fucking dialogue.
Yeah, but I love every second of it. I don't care how smart it sounds. I love listening to the way that they, because the characters are interesting and they make the story interesting for the characters. This is like a dialogue dump for fucking the sake of doing it at this point.
Just want to hear myself talk.
Yeah.
All right, what else we got?
That. Isn't that what we have? A podcast.
What else? Yeah, what else do we got?
All right.
We got to stab people with their frozen blood. That's what else we have to do.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Okay. Mortal Kombat. Also on HBO.
I have to say, not quite as bad as I was expecting, but
really?
Still not good.
You were expecting it to be worse?
You've never seen the first two movies.
Yeah. It's like, I was expecting it to be worse. It was bad.
I hate the main character. I hate him so very much.
Okay, who is he?
No fucking buddy. That's who he is.
That's why I was like, then why the fuck did they give him such a stupid, obvious latex fucking shirt that was just like a little suit of armor?
He looks like a fucking early 80s version of Aquaman.
Looks like he went to like Walmart or Kmart or something and got one of those like little strap-on vest things like I got for my nephew so he could play dress up.
Yeah.
And it sucks because the fighting in this movie is actually entertaining.
Yeah. And
the garden gnome thing, that was cool.
In the first like half hour, there was a fight every 5 minutes.
Well, in the first 20 minutes, I will say this. The first about 20 minutes of the movie, really fun. Really cool, actually. Really cool. I like how they did it, how they laid it out. But there is a big stall in the middle where the story seems to just get lost in itself.
I mean, you know, right when it starts? It starts when Sonya does the info dump.
Oof.
And it goes through the training, and then shit happens at the end.
Another montage!
Yeah. And it sucks because, and the problem is, and then how they connected the main story to someone that we know is unnecessary for several reasons, and that is this character's new and no one cares. And we already have Scorpion's son in the video games, so why not make it him?
Yeah. I was fucking crazy. I was like, who the fuck is this guy?
Fucking no one. That's the problem.
It's like
unless the payoff is that he's the guy but he's not his son.
He's a descendant.
He's an ancestor.
Yeah.
Descendant.
Who fucking who cares about this? Ron is cool. They did a good job with making Sub-Zero an absolute prick.
Yeah, they did.
And badass.
I always liked him so much, and they made me hate him a little bit.
Actually, the best fight is Sub-Zero and Scorpion in the end. That is probably the best fight.
That was awesome. Awesome fight. And honestly, my favorite character coming out of this somehow is Kano.
Oh,
because he's such a dick.
He is such a miserable sack of shit. I love him.
He is the only good actor in this entire film.
Okay, I was asking Tank this because obviously I am not well versed in Mortal Kombat lore. And I was asking, it was like, how is it everybody else, it takes them all of this training and deep soul searching to find whatever their special power, hoopla is, right? And all it takes for Sonya is, let me stab Kano in the eye with a garden gnome.
Yeah, they really fucked Sonya on the power department.
But then they made it. It's all like garden gnome to the eyeball. Oh, hey, now I can shoot laser beams.
Cool. But then they made her like super fucking powerful because she nukes Melina in one shot.
Like the temple just needs to invest in garden gnomes.
Yeah, apparently. Here, stab some dude in the fucking eye with this. You'll get your superpower.
I'm
in.
Can't that just be part of their training from now on?
And then they fucked Sonya on the story, honestly. I was not interested in her character
at all.
The one they fucked the worst.
20 bucks says we have 100 bitches dressed like that at the next con, and everybody thinks she's Lara Croft.
I agree. She probably is Lara Croft.
Probably. Liu Kang got fucked.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's because they made him to just be kind of a miserable little bitch at the end.
Yeah, that's exactly what they did. And he's like one of the most interesting characters. And when he took his fucking shirt off and flexed.
Oh, Jesus. That guy is ripped as fuck.
That was insane. I was like, oh my God, that is incredible. But he had a wonderful, wonderful build.
I wonder how much of that is CGI and how much of that dude had just worked his ass off to be that fucking ripped.
Yeah, that's all him.
Because that guy is shredded as hell. That is one of the most legitimately one of the most shredded people I've ever seen in my life.
Dude, he's like almost Bruce Lee status.
Yeah.
What's the name of She-Hulk and Shrek's love child?
Goro. Yeah.
Goro.
Right? Because
that was an interesting end for Goro. I mean, at least he died in a cool way.
Yeah, he did. I did enjoy the intestines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The CGI was okay.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't terrible. It was better than the last one.
There were some glitchy parts to it, but for the most part, they did a decent job. The best part of the movie was what they fucking showed in the trailer, and there was that Sub-Zero and Scorpion fight, and he turns that blood icicle and stabs him in the fucking back with it.
Yeah, that was kind of cool.
That was an awesome, you know. Reptile was that supposed to be Reptile at the beginning?
It was.
That was Reptile.
Okay, they fucked Reptile pretty good too on this one.
In the new ones, he's actually like a big ass reptile.
I know. But they kind of fucked him on the storyline. He gets kind of.
I know, man.
Really shitty way.
He was fucking manhandling both of them, and then later all three of them.
Like, yeah, but then
he did some fucking work.
Yeah,
His death was shitty.
Reptile is supposed to be the last of his kind and have a pretty important, you know, impact on the story in certain parts. And they set up the second one for sure.
They definitely did.
And they introduced, they're going to be bringing two characters back, at least it seems like.
I think they'll bring back most of them.
Well, I mean, two of the people that died are obviously coming back.
Kano's coming back, for sure. Yeah.
Kano's coming back, and so is Sub-Zero, but he's going to have a different name. So.
Yeah. Psylocke?
New Cybot.
Cybot.
Yeah.
He's not fucking coming back. Yeah. It's like, he was a badass, but he died in a way that I don't think he's coming back from.
Oh, no, he's going to be Noob.
Yeah.
They set that up by cooking him till he was black and then he just disappears into the ether.
Yeah.
That's 100% them setting up Noob Saibot for whatever continuation of the story there is.
Okay. That works. I can handle that. When Goro was being summoned, I thought it was Smoke and I was so fucking excited.
I was hoping it was.
Legit. I was too, because Smoke is like one of the coolest fucking characters. It's like his abilities are so sick. They're like reptiles, but cooler.
I just the story was muddled by the invention of a new character.
Yeah, who no one liked.
No, he sucks. I hope they kill him. I really do.
I hope they do too. That's how they start the new movie.
Yeah, I hope they start this smoked. The way they started Mortal Kombat Armageddon with Johnny Cage just getting his neck snapped.
Yeah. Like, yeah, that was really satisfying.
Do that to Cole Young. Yeah.
So they just had a standing get his neck snapped.
Fuck it. Have Johnny Cage snap his neck. Do it.
Yeah. Now he saves Johnny Cage in the beginning minutes of the film, and that's it. And then Cage takes over from there.
Yeah. I fucking hope so. And I hope Johnny Cage is John Morrison from. Just because.
Just because.
He's athletic enough. He has the martial arts training. He is an actor, sort of.
Sort of.
And he looks like somebody that would be a good Johnny Cage. Or, you know, do what they're supposed to. Make a Jean-Claude Van Damme now that he's 70.
But in all, like, did you guys have a good time with it? Like,
with the fights? The fights. Yeah, I enjoyed that.
It was fine. It was a fine movie, but I had fun watching parts of it.
Oh yeah,
parts and of like, it. So I would. It's definitely worth it on HBO, but I would never see it in theaters.
Oh no,
no!
Yeah. I would have been mad if I saw that. If I had paid,
to if go I had to paid the for that, I would have been very pissed.
Yeah.
And to be fair, I still kind of miss Christopher Lambert as Raiden.
Oh, I definitely do. I definitely do.
I like that the new Raiden's more of a prick, though. That is funny.
The new Raiden is a total prick.
He's such an asshole, and it's kind of
entertaining. I miss Christopher Lambert. I was just like, you know what? If he was this prickish with Christopher Lambert's accent, oh, absolutely.
Well, that would be
perfect.
That would be funny, yeah. But it's a good watch if you want to just kind of be in and out of it and just watch it for the fights, you know?
Yeah.
And every once in a while get a little backstory on somebody, because they do some backstories pretty well. I mean, the opening 20 minutes is actually really well
solid.
Done.
Very solid. Yeah.
Very well done.
We got a whole movie of that.
And
it's literally the filler. It's like the beginning and the end of the movie are both really good.
Yeah, and there's just little
cut out that extra hour.
Well, they just didn't know how to connect it. They just didn't know what to do.
Yeah, the story didn't. Because they tried to shoehorn this extra dude into the story.
Obviously, they got directing advice from Joss Whedon.
Fucking, I don't know who they got directing advice from, but this fucking stand-in fake fighter that they have is not interesting.
No, not at all. Well, I think the fans have all agreed, so I think they'll kill him off.
Didn't his character show up in like Mortal Kombat like 4 or 5? I want to say that he's familiar, that I've seen him in one of the games.
He's playing off of like 3 different characters.
All right.
Because they are kind of modeling him off of a few different people, but all of those people are more interesting.
Yes.
So.
Fuck them more interesting.
Yeah. Like, because I thought that initially, there's a couple people they could go with to make this more of an entertaining story, and they chose that, and I'm confused.
They had to bring in the family element in.
Yeah.
Which, fine, but...
And there was a lot of focus on his family. More
way
than
too much.
Yeah.
I kept waiting for the mom to, like bust out and just whoop someone's ass. I was like, all right, come on, let's get there.
Literally, you know, launch an axe into the back of a motherfucker, so...
That was awesome. I liked her fighting more than I liked his. I was like, yeah, get him!
Yeah, that's true.
All right, what else have we got?
All right, guys, I'm unfortunately going to have to call it a night, but I wish you the best on the rest of the podcast. I am getting my COVID shot tomorrow, so I need to be well-rested.
All right, have fun before you turn into a pumpkin.
All right, have a good night.
Night.
All right, next up, let's discuss Love and Thunder. All right, we have my Tom Cruise, aka Russell Crowe,
who's apparently gonna get, which if anybody is a fan of Thor and wants to read one of the better Thor storylines, this is a good one. Thor the God Butcher, or Gore the God Butcher, who is Christian Bale's character in this, is a really cool storyline for Thor, and
it is.
If that storyline is any indicator of what's going to happen in this movie, which would be cool, you might not have to worry about Russell Crowe too much.
That's anything about what we're seeing based on these images. I mean, dude.
Yeah, it seems like they're doing this full mighty Thor arc all in one movie.
Which is a lot of material to cover.
And multiple writers.
Well, that doesn't surprise me. I have a feeling that like each segment, it's going to be like Thor Dark World, where it's kind of more like a spaghetti Western style. Each kind of section is somebody else writing it, and they're just going to do flash scenes to connect everything. And that's it. That's what we're going to be stuck with.
Which is somewhat unfortunate, because the Mighty Thor storyline actually has a lot of stories in it. Like, there's a lot of big things that happened during this run with who was it before Jason Aaron, when they were doing the Jane Foster Thor?
Son of a bitch. No, Jason Aaron did Jane Foster.
He did the whole storyline?
Uh-huh. That's all Jason Aaron.
Oh, was it all Jason Aaron? Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, it looks like they're taking his entire work, which is what started in 2015?
Yeah, because there's like 3 different title changes in that run, and yes, they're all Jason Aaron, because you have Future Thor, you have Our Thor now, and Past Thor. And it all also revolves around unworthy Thor. So there's just so much. There is a shit ton in that series.
Yeah, 2015 was the beginning of the Mighty Thor.
Uh-huh.
Where we got the first Jane Foster Thor, which looks like it's going to be part of this.
Yep.
And then we got the Thor Odinson. And then we have the, like you said, the Berserker Thor comes in at certain points. And we have Gore the God Butcher. And we have all of these pretty big storylines over the last 5 years. Because
uh-huh.
Jason Aaron just ended his run last year. So
yeah, because the new guy just took over, who's doing a great job with that Thor storyline. Because I was sad to see Jason Aaron go, but
and he seems to be following it, which is you know, which makes sense. He's following it pretty.
Yeah, he didn't
logically. He's following it very logically, like this all of that happened before, and it plays directly into what's happening now.
But even like the Jane Foster Thor could be its own film to have like this whole series crammed together with the God Butcher. That means if we've got Zeus, that means we got the Olympus gods, which means we get Herc. You can't do Olympus without Herc.
Well, and especially that storyline specifically.
Yes.
The Gore the God Butcher is very dependent on a lot of the mythical stories that we have.
And he goes across the galaxy killing like every god.
It isn't just
our gods with Olympus and Asgard. He goes across the galaxy. So you got Thor on like all these different planets chasing leads, trying to figure out where he's going. It seems rather ambitious.
Well, and this seems like it's its own line of movies, because all of that stuff leads directly into what just ended in Marvel recently with the King in Black stuff, like the beginning of the Gore the God or the God Gore the God Butcher leads directly into King of Black
and the God Slayer and all of that happens before, and it's a lot. So maybe it sets up more Thor films,
which I'm fine with, but it makes me wonder how much gore is in it. Like, is it just going to be like a snippet at the end of the movie to set up a future thing? Or are they literally going to try and pack 5 years with the comics, like fairly dense storytelling, into this one movie?
Hey, as long as Russell Crowe gets.
I'm hoping we just did a little bit and it leads into what we're getting down the future. Although I do agree with what Smurf was almost going to say. And that's, we all hope that Russell Crowe biffs it.
Well, and if they follow Gore, then
just chop him into small little pieces. Just get it over with right away. Yeah. Don't even let him sing. Let him like break into a ballad and just lock his head clean off.
No.
And is that our first image of the Necro Sword?
Yes.
He can like open his mouth, but before a single syllable comes out, just
exactly. I'm agree, 100%.
Well, I hope they get crazy. If they're doing this gore stuff, I hope they go crazy with the well, essentially as a killing spree.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because gore goes nuclear on the gods, like all of the gods. And
I mean, there's not a whole lot left of Asgard, so I'm Olympus, hopefully, because we haven't even been introduced to Olympus in the movies.
Nope.
Nobody has any idea that they exist. So.
Are we getting a Hercules? Because I haven't seen a casting yet on it.
I haven't either, and I would expect it would be a surprise. But you can't do the storyline without Herc.
No, he has a pretty important role, actually.
Wasn't Russell Crowe, wasn't that supposed to be a bit of a surprise? And then
he did pull a dick move.
Yeah, he did kind of just announce it himself. It seems like under his own choice, just to like, yeah, sure, yeah, I'm Zeus. Wait, what?
unless it's a misdirect and he's actually Hercules, which is going to piss me the fuck off. That'd
be fucking depressing.
Wouldn't it? That would just be so sad. We'll see. I don't know. I don't know.
Like, way too.
But
everything.
They did a good job of making Christian Bale look like a fucking lunatic based on the pictures that they've put out so far.
Oh no, he looks totally 1980s revisiting. Oh, I'm excited. So excited for this.
So that part should be good. I think he's gonna make a good Gore, actually. So
yeah. He's intense enough. I think he can do it.
Yeah.
All right. So other movies that we've gotten little snippets and sneak peeks on. First let's talk about the John Wick prequel trailer. Could potentially be happening. Talking about this is actually, I don't know if they're going to do it as a TV series or as a mini series, you know, three part. But this takes place 40 years before the first John Wick movie. Keanu is looking to executive produce. And who the hell knows what this storyline is going to look like?
I just want more continuity. That's all I really want.
Well, and I've voiced my opinion a little bit on this earlier, but I'll say it to everybody here. I really hope it's an alternate timeline where they just basically give us Bill and Ted again, except for it ends with him going to the military school. And that's how we get John Wick.
That would be classic.
They end up sending him to military school, and he ends up becoming this psycho assassin, like ultimate badass.
That would be great. You know what? That would be funny. He goes to military school and ends up at the Continental. I like it.
It works.
Oh, that the Continental. They need to do, like, I want to know more about the Continental too. I'm with you on that. Like, this seems like a really cool way to expand the universe. It's just confusing because he's going to be a teenager in this movie, it seems like, or this series or whatever it ends up being. If they're doing 40 years in the past, it's going to be a teenage John Wick.
Kind of, yeah.
Or preteen John Wick or something like that.
Yeah.
So. Make it fun. Make a lot of people die in really cool ways.
All right. So other movies we've seen a little bit more about is Lin-Manuel Miranda and Chris Rock are working together to come up with the movie Summer of Soul. We've gotten the first trailer released. This is about a big music festival that took place the same summer as the Summer of Woodstock, with a bunch of soul and blues bands and whatnot. I don't exactly remember the location of it, but basically a bunch of African-American bands, a big, you know, music festival, Black Rights Rally. Super cool. And again, Lin is involved, so it's got my vote.
Yeah, well, you know, it seems to be in his similar vein of movies. So
What he's been doing.
Yeah, it looks like it's supposed to be based on the Harlem Cultural Festival, isn't it? Something like that.
Yeah, I think so. I don't remember if it was the Harlem Cultural Festival or...
Hold on. It's got to be something like that. Because that would have been 69 when that happened, so...
Yeah, well, I mean, I like it. It's something different. It's a little change perspective because I don't think I can handle another Woodstock film. And to see this go, you know, in a cultural different direction, and the music is spectacular. I mean, music from this era is, I don't want to say fading out, but to expose it to, you know, kind of shed light on different aspects, because I know we got the Hendrix, we've got, you know, the Janis Joplins, but, you know, the Harlem Music Festival, you know, focuses more on the rhythm and blues and the jazz era that was going on at this time, and there's just so many talented musicians.
Cultural Festival, and this is actually a documentary.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
That they're working on together.
Oh, see, I was looking at it. I thought it was going to be a movie.
Like, nope, it is a documentary that was released at the Sundance Film Festival.
Oh, okay. Oh, cool. I'll watch it for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I love that kind of music. I have an old soul that way, I guess. I love a lot of that older blues and, you know, what would have been pop at that point.
Yeah. Let's see. Other movie that's coming out. Tom Clancy's Without Remorse on Amazon Prime.
That one's coming fairly soon, it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Tom Clancy, so.
Espionage, sexy thriller stuff.
Secret stabby, agent stuff. Yep.
Stabby, stabby stuff.
And it's Michael B. Jordan just going badass on people, so that's always a good time.
I'm not on the Michael B. Jordan bandwagon. I didn't like him as Painkiller. Killmonger. Painkiller is the other version of him in the DC universe. He's just very, there's not a whole lot of depth to his acting. You get him in every role. I'm just not impressed with him.
Really?
I really am not. I'm not.
Wow.
No.
I like him. He was good in Creed, and he was good in Fruitvale Station. Was that what it was?
Yes, it was in Fruitvale Station.
That was a good movie. I've liked all his stuff, actually.
So. Creed I liked, but again, it's still kind of the same, you know, begrudging character that he plays in Marvel.
I guess he does kind of have a style.
Yes.
That he approaches it with.
Yeah. So I'm expecting the exact same thing that we saw in Black Panther with this film. I think the only saving grace is that it's a Tom Clancy production, and we're going to get kind of a much larger world that isn't hinged completely on his performance and his character. So that'll be
cool. Well, it looks like it's pretty much on his character. So.
Great. All right. Well, I already know how this turns out then.
I'm sorry. I just said, like, I was.
Well, just shut that whole floor. God damn it. Now I don't even want to watch it.
I think it comes out this week. I want to say it's Friday, actually.
All right.
But how about one that Smurf may be a little happier about, and that's MODOK.
MODOK?
And that comes out at the end of May.
Yes.
That's going to be the sci-fi show on Hulu, starring Patton Oswalt, Nathan Fillion, and John Hamm.
That is
a cast.
That is a cast. I love me some John Hamm. I mean, he's great in The Holidays, and you can't go wrong with Nathan Fillion. Patton Oswalt as MODOK absolutely makes sense. John, they're actually even writing.
John Hamm is going to be Tony Stark.
Yeah, that works. That totally works. In fact, Patton Oswalt actually is writing or helping write one of the MODOK comics right now. I don't understand MODOK. I don't get MODOK. I don't get why everyone loves MODOK.
Because he's crazy.
So's everybody else. Just because he's a head in a chair with little legs kicking out of it,
which makes it extra crazy. It makes it bizarre at the very least.
So's the Kree intelligence. It's a big head floating in a jar.
True.
But I'm gonna go into it just because it is rather one of those, you know, what happens when a gangster goes to a psychiatrist, and the punchline is The Sopranos. I understand the approach and I get it. I'm curious, and like you said, the voice actors. It just might be crazy enough to fucking work.
Well, and hopefully they do. Hopefully they give the backstory of this, like the guy that it is, like before he becomes MODOK.
I don't. What, maybe. I mean, I'm fuzzy on MODOK because I thought he was an organized, or they built him.
Well, he worked for AIM. And he was an employee. It was a
He was just a nobody, though, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was a random dude that worked for AIM, like, dealing specifically with, like, futuristic weaponry and stuff like that. And then they end up doing mutant experimentation, and he is the end result of that, essentially.
Yeah, they built him.
Yeah.
I don't, it might be crazy enough to work. I mean, Harley was much more entertaining on HBO Max than I thought it was going to be, and maybe we'll see more of that with MODOK.
Well, it could be interesting
The description is basically a evil supervillain who bankrupts his evil empire and runs the whole thing into the ground while trying to take over the world.
Oh, yep. So we're not getting any pre-story of him taking over AIM or anything like that?
That is what the description is online.
Well, even the trailer of it is kind of limiting. It's way goofy. It's okay.
Funny thing is, I tried to click into the trailer from Facebook Messenger. And the link through Facebook Messenger on my phone doesn't take me straight into my YouTube that is logged in on my phone. And so it tells me, please log in. This trailer is age sensitive, blah, blah, blah. Please prove you are over the age of 18.
It is a bit on the violent side. I mean, it kind of falls in the vein of Invincible. And I mean, this might be right up the alley of a lot of fans. So, I don't know. Just
for the trailer.
The trailer is pretty gruesome.
It is. If they go super crazy with it, and like you said, kind of push that envelope of the hyper violence and the mutation stuff, and they really push that side of it, that'd be pretty cool, I think.
Yeah. I like I said, I'll watch probably the first couple episodes, see how it goes. I don't know if I can take Patton Oswalt's voice for that long.
His voice irritates the shit out of me. I'm sorry.
But it is the voice that I would expect to come out of MODOK. It really is.
Because his voice, I agree, his voice can get kind of grating. But if it's character appropriate,
I will try it for one episode.
It is very appropriate for this character.
It really is. And I like I like John Hamm as Tony Stark. That actually.
Yeah.
In fact, why don't we get a petition starting to replace Robert Downey Jr. with George Hamm?
First off, John Hamm, not George Hamm. Second, pretty sure Robert Downey Jr. will kill you if you sign that petition. But
to keep any of the suits.
He will show up at your doorstep, murder you right there. Oh, of course he got to keep a suit. He probably's got a couple. One from each film, I'll bet you.
Them, and it doesn't matter whether or not the studio let him keep anything.
Oh, he just took him.
Yeah.
His car and walked away. It's like, oh, you guys are done with this, right?
Just walked out the front door with it.
Like, put on a jacket and walked out in his suit. No? All right.
He just had to lay down in his Bentley. All right, go.
Okay, so the other trailer, the one that I'm the most excited about, obviously, is the revival of West Side Story, or the remake of West Side Story. They revived West Side Story a couple of years ago, and Lynn actually worked with Sondheim on this to turn all of the Jets song, or excuse me, all of the Sharks songs into Puerto Rican, which is, you know, its own dialect of Spanish. Because previously, every time, you know, the Puerto Ricans would sing, it was in English. And so he actually worked to turn all of their music into Spanish. And so I'm wondering if they will be singing in Spanish on this. You don't really hear any of the singing or anything other than Place for Us in this trailer.
What do you feel about this Ansel guy being the lead?
You know, I'm not sold on the full cast yet. However, but Cheetah Rivera, fucking A. Sorry, Rita Moreno is going to be in here, which I'm excited about. And Doc, who is the guy who Tony works for, who helps, you know, the young lovers and all of that. Mm-hmm. According to the trailer, it looks like is being played by a woman. It actually looks like there's a lot more female characters. You know, the character they have playing anybody's,
I don't. So I know Steven Spielberg's involved with this project.
Yes.
He is involved with this one.
So I don't know how I feel about
the director of this one.
I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, I don't know if Spielberg is just looking so desperately for a win because Ready Player One didn't deliver on what everybody was hoping it would. And I know he pushed Ernest to really like finish Ready Player Two, which, let's face it, was not good.
It's funny because then he was like, you know, dead silent after the book came out.
That's because it's horrible. So I don't know how I feel about Spielberg doing this project. I think it would be more effective in more capable hands. I think this is out of Spielberg's wheelhouse. I really do. And
I think of a really like big musical that Spielberg was like, yes, this was his big thing.
Yeah, I don't get it. It really seems out of place to me for him to do it. And well, I think there would be better choices out there.
It also kind of ties into what I was getting at. I don't really see this Ansel guy as a good lead.
No, and it really seems like they were... Huh?
I don't know if any of these are theater names that I just don't know yet because they're all very young actors.
Well, Ansel is a movie guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's the dude from Baby Driver, Fault in Our Stars.
This is why I don't know him.
No, he was great in Baby Driver, but he had like no dialogue. He
never talked. That was and that's good because. If you've seen The Fault in Your Stars, Jesus Christ, that movie's boring.
No, I've never watched that movie because it has no appeal to me.
And he was in Divergent, the Divergent series based on the books and stuff like that.
Because, like, so I know that the woman playing she's fucking 12. The girl playing Maria, like, this is her first big breakout role.
Well, and it seems like that they're definitely not going to be 12 because these people are very obviously in their mid-20s.
I'm sorry. So, anybody under the age of 32 is 12.
Oh, my bad.
I'm really questioning the cast.
I just have standards.
Well, and if I'm not mistaken, the person who's playing the female lead are the female lead, mm-hmm. right? Has she been anything, or is this legitimately her?
This is legitimately there are articles that I've been reading about her about the fact that this is her first big breakout role.
Because wasn't she like a YouTube star or something like that?
It's possible that that's how she was discovered.
I want to say it was something like, 'cause I remember hearing something about it when they were first talking about casting her or something like that. That she was a YouTube breakout. I guess. Which, I don't know. I'd say okay, because that doesn't really mean anything. So was Justin Bieber. So.
And when it comes to Justin Bieber, I stand by what our young, sometimes guest co-host Will once said, and I will never understand why everybody is so obsessed with that Bieber anyway.
But I don't know. I'm much more excited about In the Heights than I am about this when it comes to the musical side of things.
Well, it doesn't look like he has any strong musical talent on the administrative staff or the directing staff that I was able to see.
Yeah, which once again makes this confusing. Is it going to be a musical? It's being presented as one.
Yeah.
Traditionally, West Side Story is
a musical. And
that's what I'm saying. Traditionally, that's what it is.
And it does say it will be a musical.
Okay, so then why does it seem like he avoided
singing musicians? In the previews?
Yeah, and why did he avoid musicians or singers or, you know, a production company that was leaning towards music?
I don't know.
I'll probably end up watching it, but
I'll definitely end up crying because West Side Story has a special place in my heart. But you know, like when the revival came out back in 2009, I believe it was 2009, 2011, when Matt Cavanaugh, was in the revival role as Tony. I just words and stuff and things. But let's talk about something completely different before I start going down my theater rabbit hole, which we all know I can do for many, many hours. And that is, what the fuck is up with Sony?
Well, so Sony, if we've talked about on here a couple times, got kicked in the teeth recently, several times, it seems. And it seems like they're trying to counter all of that with their TV and movies stuff.
Well, I think they're trying to play nice because, like you said, they got kicked in the teeth and they've tried. When Netflix went to streaming, Sony tried their own brand of streaming. If you purchased a television set, you could stream anything from their library. If you purchased an XBR series or higher, this is when the 4K TV series started. You could even upgrade your existing TVs by putting a little unit in the back of the TV set to, again, stream their films.
Yeah, their upscale thing. Yeah.
Yep. It crashed and burned. it was like James Dean on a twisty highway. It didn't last long. So the fact that they're trying to recover from this is humorous because Sony just wants a hit. Sony just wants a franchise. Sony is just clamoring for anything any of the other studios already take for granted.
Well, and weirdly enough, they have a couple of fairly well-known franchises, not many at this point, but they do have some still. And it looks like they, rather than, you know, fighting against Microsoft in the gaming environment, they're just basically licensing all of their stuff. And they signed a huge contract with Netflix to give them first run on all of their new properties for the next, 5 years or something like that. They also signed a contract with Disney to release all of their Marvel properties onto the Disney platform once they're done with their run on Netflix. Which
it's sure a payday for them. That's all they care about.
And they're seemingly getting a huge payoff out of that. And I guess that makes sense. Cash in on the property that you know sells.
And why not? Because I know Disney and Marvel are looking at it as, if we do this, we get Spidey.
They get the back catalog for Spidey movies plus the new stuff once it comes out.
It's fine.
And then seemingly on the back end of both of those deals, PlayStation had a leak off their official website, which was funny, of a new video pass to go along with their game pass, it seems like.
So they're
countering what Xbox did with their Game Pass by just saying, okay, well, we don't have as much buying power with our games as Microsoft currently does. So instead, they're going to looks like dump their video library onto the platform.
Mm-hmm.
So,
hey, that's something.
It's something, and I'm sure there are some people that will. I don't know if that's going to gain them any people, but it might keep people on.
It'll keep the attention of people, but yeah. I don't see anyone. I don't see anyone jumping platforms or ships right now just because I can play this game when, you know, you've got all of Bethesda showing up in the Microsoft catalog. They're changing the Xbox Gold that you don't need gold to stream some of the games and to play with your friends. So Xbox is definitely still a step ahead of Sony in what they're trying to do.
But yeah, it looks like this is very much it's in testing right now. It's seemingly in
Poland. It's in its beta.
It's in its beta. Well, I don't even know if it's beta or alpha stage at this point, but it is in testing of some kind. And they showed, you know, some of their more popular stuff. They have, you know, Venom and Zombieland, and I think Uncharted was supposed to end up on there. And I don't know. Maybe this will help them gain some stuff back.
Or just tread water, I think, at this point.
And I know, I mean, maybe that's what it is. Maybe this is a holdover until they can fix their PS Now bullshit. Because that sucks. And it's not.
Yes.
And I will say I love a lot of their first party stuff. I'm a fan of their first party stuff. But their PS Now thing is not good. It's not really a good value for what you're getting, at least not in comparison to what Game Pass does for Xbox. So maybe this is just a holdover for the time being. Like, hey, we're working on something. Take this for now. Please don't leave.
Please don't leave us. Yeah.
But it looks like they're trying to recoup any losses they had by just licensing the shit out of everything they have. So,
yeah. Leverage what you own, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta do what you gotta do.
That's about it. Like, I haven't seen anything else come out of them besides that. So
now, so we'll see what happens when the dust settles at the end of the week.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that is everything on our list for the evening.
Excellent. So I guess we will be back next week. We've got new shows coming. We've got shows also ending, because I'm sure next week we will be talking about what happens in Invincible.
Oh, yes.
So much more. So in the meantime, run fast, laugh hard, and always be kind.